like Mr. Lamb is here today. But anyway, so people have asked me about this, and all I can say is you should see the other guy. No, actually, I have a new shoulder done by Dr. Guerra, which I've probably met 50 people in this room who have the same thing. What a great guy. So, the last time I was up here in front of you was what turned out to be my last act as president. It was at the Old Beach Club Hotel, and I was introducing our then brand new governor as our speaker. That turned out to be our last in-person meeting for a year and a half due to COVID. I'm sure many of you were there. Our guest today is Brian Lamb, who is an appointee of the governor, and a very important one at that. He is the chair of the Florida State University System Board of Governors. As I mentioned, I serve myself as a trustee of FGCU, one of the 12 constituent Florida State Universities. Brian Lamb is also, in his day job, a managing director and segment head for middle market banking covering the Northeast for J.P. Morgan Chase. In January of 2023, Brian was honored as a Horatio Alger Award recipient and selected for membership in that prestigious organization due to his personal and professional successes and continued commitment to education and charitable efforts in the community. There's a long list of other things like this that I'm not going to read up. Brian holds a bachelor's degree in accounting and an MBA from the University of South Florida, and he is also a graduate of the Spanier Graduate School of Banking at the University of Pennsylvania. Brian is going to share with us some of his perspectives on leading what is now, and for the fifth straight year, the number one ranked public university system in the country by U.S. News and World Report. I will just note that is ahead of California, Texas, and New York. So, Brian, come up here and share some of your thoughts about higher education in Florida.
Well, good afternoon. It's great to see everyone. I see a number of familiar faces, folks I've known for years, and then for those that I have not had a chance to meet, I truly want to say thank you for giving me a chance to be a part of this very special group, the Forum Club. Ed, to you and all of the Forum Club members, it means a lot to be here, so thank you for giving me a chance to do it. And many of you know Joe Fogg. He is he's just an outstanding human being and has become a friend. And Joe, thanks for giving me a chance to be here today. I really appreciate the invitation. Well, I drove in from Manhattan, a little small town, country city. I'm a small town banker up there. But I'm originally born and raised in Tallahassee, Florida. So I am a Floridian at heart, my mother and father. My dad was a school teacher for 40 years in Tallahassee. My mother worked for the Department of Corrections. So I grew up in a very disciplined household. I didn't know what to do at dinner, whether I was going to get arrested or going to get suspended from school. I didn't. It was a very interesting dinner. They're wonderful human beings. They still live up in Tallahassee. I have one sibling. She lives in Jacksonville. She works for Florida Blue. I am married to my beautiful bride, Paulette, who is also from Tampa. Met her in college. We have three children. I have one that's in college, and then I have a 9-year-old and a 3-year-old. So I'm going to be at this a little while. I'll probably see you guys again soon, okay? So I am very lucky. I was appointed to the Florida Board of Governors by our governor, Ron DeSantis. And it's a big deal. And I want to talk to you a little bit about higher education and what it means for our great state of Florida. I particularly want to talk about it in a way that helps crystallize what's happening today in higher ed, maybe give you a little perspective of where I think it's going, both in the state of Florida and nationally, and quite frankly, talk a little bit about some of the really important gating issues, both policy-related, budget-related, and also just general strategy that will continue to have Florida be the number one state university system in America. If you take a step back, let me ground you on a few things. And before I dive in, I've got to thank another group that's here. Did you all see those students walk across this stage? How impressive were they? I had a chance to meet a few of them before lunch, and it was a common theme. Number one, they are excited about their future, and you know what? They should be. They've earned that right. But with the support and help of the Forum Club, you are investing and paying it forward. That I got a funny feeling that seeing these students and getting to know them, I feel much better about the next generation and our future in this great state. Many of them are going to state institutions. A few are going to UF. Joe Fogg was pretty happy. He heard Florida Gulf Coast a few times, Florida Atlantic, University of South Florida, and so on. And there's some that are going outside the state to outstanding institutions. But I think what's important for the students to know is we're proud of you. We're proud of you. I'm sure each of you have a story around the motivation that got you to this point and this milestone in your life, for you to earn the right to be recognized by the Forum Club. It's a long journey ahead of you, but at this milestone, celebrate it and enjoy it. Get to know each other. You can build friendships that can last a lifetime, just like many of those that are in the room today that have known each other for many years. You have a chance to do the same thing with your colleagues. So I'm wishing you the very best, and I look forward to answering a few of your questions later on. The state university system. There are 12 state universities within the purview of the Florida Board of Governors. Florida Board of Governors has 17 members, okay? 15 of those 17 are appointed by our governor. Two are a student that rotates out each year and a faculty member that rotates out each year. And they are selected by their peers within the state university system. Those 17 board members have a seven-year term. Some can serve multiple terms, so you could be at it a little while if you're interested. What's really important is that the 12 universities roll up to the Florida Board of Governors. It is a constitutional right for the university, for the Florida Board of Governors to oversee all 12 state institutions. What's important is those 12 state institutions have 13 trustee members, so they have their own board. Okay, those boards are really important. We're counting on folks like Blake Gable, who I saw earlier in the room, as chair of our very own Florida Gulf Coast, plays an incredibly important role with his colleagues, overseeing the strategy, the mission, the execution of all the things that Florida Gulf Coast is focused on doing, along with their president, of course, Dr. Martin. What's important about the state university system is to understand the scale. There are 19,000 faculty. 6,000 of them are tenured. There are over 420,000 students. It is the equivalent of a Fortune 50 company. The operating budget, when you think about the revenues that come in that we then ultimately deploy back out to the institutions, over $5.5 billion each year. Our state makes a significant part of that contribution, in excess of $3.4 billion a year and growing. Go back to what our governor, DeSantis, has been able to do under his leadership. We have continued to increase the investment in higher education across the state of Florida under his leadership. It has made a significant impact and difference in our performance. So let me touch on that a little bit. The Board of Governors, like any great organization, also, if you will, has a CEO. For many years, Marshall Kreiser was the chancellor of the state university system. Did a fantastic job for us. We are very fortunate today to have one of our very own in this market, former senator, former House rep, and now chancellor of the state university system, Chancellor Ray Rodriguez. If you have not met Ray, you don't know what you're missing. He is outstanding. And he's got a couple of superpowers that we tend to leverage from time to time at the Board of Governors that I believe will position us long into the future to continue to be a high-performing governing body around higher ed. So we're very fortunate to have Chancellor Rodriguez. If you think about outcomes, right, I know the Forum Club is always interested. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the outcomes of the state university system. We talked about being number one in ranking, but let me pull that apart. What does that mean to be number one? Our graduation rates, four-year graduation rate in particular, our retention rate of students, folks that have gone from their freshman year to their sophomore year, the amount of research dollars, the percentage of our curriculum and degrees that are in degrees of strategic emphasis like STEM and health and medicine, is outpacing any other state in the country. Our four-year graduation rates right now are well above 60%. Historically, they were well below. We are starting to see our students matriculate much faster through the university system. One of the benefits of that, they are able to graduate in many ways without debt. I don't know about you, but being 20, 21, 22, 23 and burdened with debt is a very challenging, stressful, and difficult situation. In 2021, 75% of our students finished that fiscal year with no debt. No debt. Our goal, thank you. I got to tell you, we wouldn't be able to do that without your help. Many of you are benefactors across the state university system, your companies as well. Our state of Florida, of course, is investing. Bright Futures has been a differentiator. So I said we were number one in terms of performance in the state of Florida. What if I told you we're also number one for the lowest cost state tuition and fees in the United States of America? Now, I don't know about you, but I've got a boss you may recognize by the name of Jamie Dimon. He pushes us pretty hard. He likes to be number one in just about everything. And he sends his regards. I think he's spoken here at the Forum Club a number of times, and he's actually fairly proud of it. We had our earnings release today, and so he was pretty focused on that. But I raised him to say it's highly unusual to have top performance and have top efficiency. Very difficult combination to achieve, and right now our great state is doing that in higher ed. Research, we're up to $2.6 billion in research expenditures every year. It's a fantastic number. Let me calibrate that for you. In terms of the United States, that's now top five. We used to be outside of the top 25, by the way. We're inside the top five in terms of research dollars, federal, private, institutional research that is given to the institutions to deploy for research that we can commercialize, that we can turn into opportunity to create jobs right here in our great state of Florida. And much of that research is focused on things around healthcare, engineering, medical device, right? Artificial intelligence, cybersecurity. A lot of the things that we know over the next generation are going to be a differentiator for our great state to be competitive long into the future. So I'm very pleased that we are tracking on research. We'd like to see that number be in excess of $3 billion. Because that will create significant opportunity for us. How are we trending? We're up $200 million year over year in research spending. If we can keep that trajectory, we've got a near-term path to $3 billion, which is our 2025 goal. And of course, before we get there, we're going to think about how big should that number really be long-term and what it could mean for our students, our faculty, and our state. I talked a little bit about STEM and research and how much it makes up of our performance and how we're achieving. Let me touch on a couple of other important items, and then I want to pivot and talk policy a little bit. One of the other reasons that we continue to perform really, really well is our faculty. We've got 19,000 faculty across the state university system. I mentioned that 6,000 of them are tenured faculty. The amount of awards and research funding that our faculty are bringing in today is unprecedented. We haven't seen this level of productivity coming out of our faculty in decades. And the reason that's so important is with great faculty come great students. And at the end of the day, as I said earlier, that's generally our fundamental purpose in higher education in Florida, to create pathways for our students to go out, dream big, exceptional citizens in our great state and in society. So our faculty are winning awards, national awards, Fulbright scholars, all of the things that you would want to see your high-performing talent deliver. We're continuing to deliver on that. I'm feeling very, very good about the trajectory of our faculty. We've got work to do, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that in policy. Let's pivot and chat about probably the last maybe 12 months, what you have been seeing and hearing about around policy. The Board of Governors historically hasn't been as active and engaged around setting policy in higher education in Florida. Many years ago when it was formed, probably around 2000, remember there was a Board of Regents, and after the Board of Regents, the Board of Governors was established, right? Jeb Bush was our governor at the time. Over this last 23 years, the Board of Governors has had periodic engagement around policy. I'm here to tell you we are super engaged in policy today. And I'm going to touch on a few items for us to think about. First, let's just touch on faculty. Of those 6,000 tenured faculty, one of the things we want to do is continue to recognize and reward high-performing faculty. But we also, like any healthy organization, want to make sure we continue to hold our faculty accountable performing at a really high level, delivering on the mission of that institution in the classroom, producing research where appropriate that can deliver outcomes in our state of Florida. And so post-tenure review, the terminology you may hear, post-tenure review, that is all about every 5 years, we then will ask our universities and those trustee boards I mentioned earlier to work with the president and the deans and the provost to make sure they've got a consistent approach in terms of how they evaluate faculty, reward faculty, hold faculty accountable to delivering the outcomes in the classroom that we would expect that, importantly, line up with the mission of that institution. So that level of accountability is new policy that we put in place. I think our governor was very passionate about it, as was our speaker and our Senate president. We're very focused on driving that accountability. The Board of Governors has got a responsibility to make sure that that's happening. We have total confidence in the trustee boards and our presidents that they can deliver on it. But post-tenure review, we believe, was an important part of policy that will take us into the future and continue to have high-performing faculty across the state. Second policy item I'll touch on, accreditation. Now, accreditation is kind of a regulatory terminology, but at the end of the day, none of us want our great students that you're investing in to go to institutions that are not accredited. So it's a fundamental prerequisite on what you need to be an outstanding institution. All of our 12 institutions are, of course, accredited. But what was interesting, in a very long time, I don't know how long, but decades, probably 30 or 40 years at least, we have not approached accreditation like any free enterprise system would. Historically, there were 7 or 8 accrediting bodies around the United States, but they were very regional in their focus, right? So if you were in the Southeast, you probably were with SACS accrediting body. If you were in the West Coast or in the Midwest, that accreditation body generally had most or all of the institutions. A few years ago, there was legislation by the Department of Education, the Federal Department of Education, that basically opened up that apparatus to allow accrediting bodies to compete and pursue universities outside of their typical geographic boundaries. That is a good thing. That's the essence of a free enterprise system and what it means for Florida, what it means for the Board of Governors, our legislature, and our governor, is we then get an opportunity to start to think about what is in the best interest of our universities. Our presidents, our trustees raised their hand and said, we think it's a good time to go to market, to talk to some of these other accrediting bodies, to make sure we maintain high standards, make sure we're associated with other outstanding institutions of higher ed, and the list is long, maybe even reduce some costs and become more efficient. So accreditation was a very important policy change that we put in place last year. It's rolling through over the next 3 to 5 years where all of the universities will get a chance to go out and seek out a new accreditor that we believe will set them up long into the future. It's a big deal. We haven't done it in probably 30 or 40 years, maybe more. Third policy item. If you think about one of the other really important challenges today is when you see businesses, institutions of higher ed included, start to deviate from their core mission. And when that happens, all sorts of challenges eke into the ecosystem. And a specific example of that, and you've read about it, you've heard about it, you've seen bills related to it, is around DE&I. House Bill 999 is a perfect example of where the legislature is currently in discussions real time around what they believe we should be thinking about around higher education and how we're making sure to continue to create civil discourse, intellectual freedom, and that our students have an opportunity to go to an institution, right, and share their voice, know that they can be heard, and have a chance to have that discourse and that intellectual freedom, and that universities continue to align to their agreed-upon mission that the Florida Board of Governors approves. I think you will continue to see that legislation move. I wouldn't be surprised if in the next week or two there's additional context around what the legislature and the governor are thinking. We at the Board of Governors have been pretty involved in this. You heard us talk a lot about intellectual freedom, civil discourse last year. You're going to hear me talk a lot about how I'm going to hold the trustee boards, all 12 of them, very accountable, staying true to their missions that their communities, their students, and their faculty have all signed up for. So there will be plenty of debate on the topic, but one thing's for sure, and that is that when we allow our over 400,000 students to attend these great institutions, they should be able to do so and be their real selves, be able to have open dialogue and debate, and do it in a thoughtful, educational way, and they should be leaving that institution better prepared for the future, whatever decisions or choices that they typically want to have. And so we've got real work to do there. I think you'll hear more. You'll hear more from me and the Florida Board of Governors coming forward on it with some pretty strong views. Those are examples of policy decisions that we are making at the Florida Board of Governors that I believe are going to set our system up for the future. I'll throw one more big policy item at you. Tuition. What if I told you that some of the states that many of us hail from, whether it's the Midwest and Ohio and Michigan or the Northeast and New York and Massachusetts or even Texas or California, many of those states, a lot of their students are coming into Florida, and I don't blame them. It's a great place. But here's what's interesting. We haven't raised tuition, particularly out-of-state tuition, in over a decade. And I don't know about you. I went to get some milk the other day, and it was a hell of a lot more expensive than like 10 days ago, much less 10 years ago, right? We all know it's much more expensive to do business in our great state. The value creation that we have around a degree in the state university system is number one in the country. And we're proud of that. You should be proud of that because you've helped get us to that point. Tuition is something that we will start to understand. We want to protect low in-state tuition for our students, our citizens, the residents of this great state of Florida. But we've got to give some thought to the fact that if you're coming from the Midwest, you're coming from North Carolina, you're coming from New York, California, you name the state, and their in-state tuition is more expensive than our out-of-state tuition. If you want to go get a law degree from North Carolina or one of the other states, it might be $70,000, $80,000. What if I told you it's sub $40,000 here? Right? So there's some things we need to do to recalibrate what being competitive and value exchange looks like. We want to protect undergraduate tuition, of course, for our in-state students. They deserve a pathway that's very affordable, where they don't have to count on lots of debt to get through school. They pay taxes. They're citizens here in our great state. So I'm fairly sensitive as a USF graduate myself and a product of the state of Florida. I'm pretty conscious to the importance of creating pathways for our students. But I also raise tuition as a topic that you'll probably hear about in terms of how we're being thoughtful, remaining competitive, staying affordable, but not giving away the value of this great state without really being, you know, understanding what that exchange has been when we haven't done much around tuition analysis for well over a decade. It's an important topic for us. So I'm going to talk about maybe one other item, and then I want to make sure I save plenty of time for questions. For this room, probably I would tell you, you should be really proud. Florida Gulf Coast, I think they're doing an outstanding job. We obviously have a presidential search in flight. I spoke about my friend Blake Gable, who's leading that. But there's another important group that I haven't spoken about that I want to mention. There are 28 colleges, the community colleges, but 28 colleges in the state of Florida. So that's the college system. There are 12 in the state university system. Those 40 institutions of higher ed make up what is the number one state institution system in America. So I think my friend Thomas Grady was in the room a little earlier. He was chair of that board for years. If you think about Manny Diaz, who leads that Florida DOE part of our college system, Chancellor Ray Rodriguez, think about them as kind of two CEOs waking up every day working together to build a long-term strategy. I'm happy to say we're seeing more engagement from the university presidents, community college presidents, working very closely together. We've got something we call a 2+2 system, right? Come in to community college, you spend a couple of years, you then transfer seamlessly into a four-year school, and you graduate as quickly and successfully as you can. We do that in Florida better than any state in America. We matriculate students through in a 2+2 program better than anyone else in America. And so that is another very important strategy that you'll hear more about around what are we doing to strengthen and bolster the partnership between the 28 state college institutions and the 12 university institutions, and how do they continue to work really, really well together to graduate 30 to 40 to 50,000 students a year just in our great state of Florida. So that's a little bit about higher ed. Where do I think it's going? There's challenges, right? Enrollment is down across the country. 2 to 3% decreases in enrollment. That's not a great thing, right? Now, people are trading off education for entrepreneurship. We've got great programs in the Florida state around entrepreneurship. Many of you built out your own businesses as well. So there's reasons for sometimes that enrollment decline. The state of Florida is flat. Even though you see the national averages, enrollment's down. That's a good thing for us in terms of continuing to see high enrollment in our institutions. The other one I talked about was the cost of going to college. The debt burden for students in many states is unbearable. Nationally, people are very much struggling with it. And so that's an issue that we're trying to address. We feel very good about our positioning in Florida. Frankly, we wouldn't be able to do it without our governor's help. So if you see him, tell him that thank you and keep investing in our great state university system. Their ROI is really, really good, right? If the state university system, if SUS were a stock ticker symbol on the New York Stock Exchange, you would all want to invest in it. The returns will be good. We don't pay dividends, though, so I'm sorry. That's a little bit of a different issue. But that's the kinds of things that are headwinds for higher education. And the other one I would raise is faculty compensation. Wage inflation is like very challenging across all of our businesses. I know in mine, also in higher ed. I would say that our faculty, our high-performing faculty in particular, people are recruiting them. When you're number one, everyone's watching. And they want a little bit of that special recipe that we have. Much of it is tied to our faculty. So we've got to make sure that we're thinking about how we invest, compensate, and reward our high-performing faculty. It is a headwind across the country. So I'm going to stop there. You know, Ed and Joe, I don't know if we want to open it up and take questions. I will tell you, you should all feel very proud of what's happening right here, of course, in Naples with Florida Gulf Coast. You should feel very proud of the higher education system in Florida and where it's going. We have our headwinds. There are things that are going to be challenges. But I hope I was able to give you some perspective on strategically what we're focusing on, what are the policies that we're trying to tackle, and why, you know, the role that you play is so important. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. That was great. You all have just heard from one of the great leaders of higher education in the state of Florida. Thank you. So let me start with a question from a student.
Okay.
Because of the strides that our Florida universities have made, has there been a large influx of out-of-state applications, and has that made it more difficult for in-state high school students to be accepted to in-state Florida institutions? Good question.
That's a very good question. And why do the students always ask the hardest questions? Like everywhere I go. It's a really good question. Let me tell you, let me pull that apart quickly. First, the answer is absolutely. Out-of-state applications have tripled in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years. Tripled. Now, I'll put that in perspective. I don't know about you, but when something is number one, you kind of want to be a part of it, right? So the great recruiters, the great faculty are here. The funding is here. The cost of enrollment and tuition is low. We've got a great brand. Every now and then we win football games, like those kind of things. So, like, we are attractive. So a lot of schools, a lot of students, I'm sorry, and parents outside of the state are applying to come to our great state. It's one of the very reasons why I think we do need to be more thoughtful on tuition, right, and that trade-off, so that we're saving capacity for our in-state students that want to attend college at either a community college or a four-year state institution. And so it's very important that I wake up every day trying to find that balance. We have seen application volume triple. We are finding that we're able to find capacity at many of the 12 institutions. So maybe you want to go to University of Florida, number 5th ranked institution in America, AAU institution. Go Gators, right? But not everyone's going to get in at UF. So there are 11 other institutions that have different curriculum, different strategy, different enrollment, different cost. You know, there's lots of variety across the state that still gives our students options for choice and access. So that's what I'm focused on, even though we see the headwinds around application volume. The trade-off in cost and access is something that's part of our core strategy at the Board of Governors.
Okay. Another student question. What does the next generation need to do to make our national education system better? How do we motivate students into caring about their future?
Well, let me tell you, you know, I happen to work at a little small company with about 300,000 employees in 100 countries, right? We've got $125 billion in top-line revenue if you look at our prior year. We've got hundreds of thousands of companies and consumers that we work with, 85 million households. I've got a pretty good view of what the future should look like. And if you don't have an education, a competitive one, from a high-performing institution, you could be at a disadvantage. Doesn't mean you are, but you could be. If you aren't taking your education seriously as a young professional or a parent or an advisor or a teacher and giving someone advice on going into degrees, they can actually get a job, right? That's a challenge. That's why 60% of the degrees that we produce are in STEM or health. Science, technology, engineering, math, and health. Medicine, right? Pharmacy, etc. 60% of our degrees are in that space. Because what the data would tell us is they finish on time, and they're able to get a really good job, go start a business, go buy a company, all of those things that are the true American dream. And fundamental to that is a good education. So if you aren't inspired by the importance of taking this part of your life serious as a student or as a parent, as an advisor, please call me and I will help you get your motivation up.
Okay. How can high schools increase number of students applying to our SUS schools? Do we even want to do that?
Yeah, well, listen, I'm never going to turn off to speak around high-performing talent in our great state of Florida. Our high schools, you know, whether they're charter, public, private, I really hope that we are an attractive choice, an option for students here in Florida. A lot of folks don't know the facts. They might not know how highly ranked we are. They may or may not know how affordable it is, number one in the country. They may not know of all the solutions that can help around bright futures and scholarship, all of those things that make going to college a lot easier, lot more exciting, accessible, whether you live in Naples or whether you live in Daytona Beach. There are options. And so I think more than ever in this great state, we are looking for our students to enroll, to apply at a state institution or college. I want to be super clear. There are tens of thousands of success stories of folks that went to community college because they weren't ready to go to a four-year school. They did exceptionally well. They matured and they developed. They learned a little bit more about themselves. And then they were able to go to a four-year school and have been wildly successful. So that's pretty cool.
Okay, how are we protecting Florida schools from Chinese communist influence? Is that something you talk about?
It is. It is, Joe. You know, you may have seen in our last board meeting, and we followed, frankly, a number of the state institutions in Florida around our positioning on TikTok and forming a very strong view and positioning guidance to all of our state universities. That's just one tangible example. The other place that we see influence into our great country from those outside is through research, right? You heard this idea of folks stealing our research. It's very real, right? It's not a misunderstanding. And so we put a lot in place, a lot of controls in place to make sure that the research that is happening on our campus with our students and faculty, when we try to commercialize product, the patents, which there are, our state does a fantastic job around patents. Online education, we have four institutions in the top 30 universities in America, University of Florida being ranked number one, around online education. All of these are great attributes. They also are risky because there's those that want to steal that proprietary information. So, Joe, we talked about it at the board. There's things that we're putting in place and mandating for our trustees to make sure we're watching the intellectual capital and assets that are being formed and developed at our universities.
Okay. Somebody asked, there are 12 state universities, as you know. Is that the right number? Should we have another one or two, or do we have too many?
Joe, you're trying to get me in trouble, man. So we have 12. If you go back maybe 5 to 7 years ago, there used to be 11. Florida Poly was the most recent addition to our state university system. Florida Polytechnic is in Lakeland. Smaller institution, maybe less than 2,000 students. They are focused solely on really predominantly engineering for the most part, of course. And there's lots of debate, frankly. You know, it's really hard to fund all 12, including the 28 colleges. So my short answer is I'm sure my colleagues in the legislature, our governor, and all in the board are always really trying to think about how do we remain efficient and continue to invest. Today, we haven't, gotten into a heated debate on do we need to do something different around the 12. What we are focused on, though, is that the 12s are being very good stewards of the billions of dollars that the state is investing, and we're holding them accountable, Joe, to the KPIs, the outcomes tied to those things I talked about, graduation, retention, mm-hmm. research, et cetera. And if we continue to produce at that level, then I think we may be okay.
By the way, on the last question about Chinese communist stuff, we as a board at FGCU just a couple of days ago voted to remove TikTok from
right.
any university-owned computing systems, computers,
right.
laptops, whatever. You can't operate
That's right.
TikTok on the FGCU campus. Okay, so we're nearing the end here, but I'm leaving a series of questions that was on quite a few people's minds that
okay.
won't surprise you. And it has to do with DEI, freedom of speech,
yep.
all the issues we've been talking about. There's concerns about faculty retention and what their view of all of this. There are people who feel that what the BOG and the legislature is doing is basically banning the teaching of all kinds of useful stuff, which is not true.
Right.
And I hope you'd shed your perspective
sure.
on all of this stuff.
Absolutely. So, you know, look, if you look at what you are hearing and hopefully reading around, first our legislature and our governor around their strong views, here's principally what we're solving for. We all made a commitment and are investing in our institutions tied to their missions. And if we start to have situations where there's deviation from those missions, there's things happening in the classroom that, quite frankly, aren't in the best interest of the student, they aren't balanced, they don't allow for that civil discourse and debate, they don't allow for that true intellectual freedom, then that is what we're trying to address. I'm not here to debate how much of that exists versus how much of it doesn't exist. What I am here to form a strong view on is there's no place for it. That we've got to make sure all of our students and our faculty, for that matter, have an opportunity to have that intellectual freedom and real debate, real focus. You hear the governor and others talk a lot about what has crept into the university system around wokeism. I think principally from the Board of Governors, you'll hear us be pretty vocal on spending time with each of the trustee boards this year, okay, when we wrap up the session, focused on their mission statements, focused on their curriculum, the degrees that they're producing. We've got a constitutional right as a Board of Governors to do that. That's not like a violation of anything that we will be doing around accreditation, et cetera. So we want to spend time to listen and learn. I would tell you, Joe, I talk to faculty and university presidents every week. I'm in their markets. I'm in their cities. I'm listening. Our board is listening. I'm not suggesting that we've got this all perfectly designed. We had the same discussion in post-tenure review, right? There was a lot of debate and tension around, do you need more oversight around how we govern the evaluation of tenure faculty? So we're going to have these debates. I want to give you some comfort at the Board of Governors. We're listening. We've got agility. If we get something wrong, we'll take a look at it. If there's strong feedback around how we're evaluating these issues in the classroom, Joe, you know, that's why Ray Rodriguez, as our chancellor, is there, to share that sentiment and feedback. So I think this is going to be a longer journey for us, but we principally are just trying to stay true to our mission and make sure that our students are in an environment where they can be themselves and they can thrive. And that means from time to time, we just have to inspect the curriculum, inspect the performance, and what are we seeing and hearing that's happening on our university campuses.
All right. Do we have books, Ed, or we're not doing that anymore? We don't have, okay, so you don't get that. Sorry. Anyway, let me just conclude by saying many of us in the program committee have been looking forward all year to your visit here. You have not disappointed. Thank you very much.